Hello, you're listening to Career Conversations, a series that's part of the Food Matters Live podcast. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts, as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. Today I'm chatting to Harry Gotra, who is the first to admit she has one of the best food jobs in the world. Harry works for Virgin Atlantic, coming up with menus for all inbound passengers as global food and beverage manager for the airline. It's a role which regularly sees her travelling to a different country every month, meeting local chefs and experts to help devise exciting meals that will still taste just as good at 30,000 feet up. If that wasn't enough, Harry is also a cook, author, and the founder of the biggest Indian food digital platform in the UK, harrygotra.co.uk. I'll be back at the end with some useful information about following in her footsteps, but for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast. So is there an area or a speciality of Indian cuisine that you particularly love?
My parents come from the Punjab region up in the north. That's the food that I grew up on. That's the food that my mum taught me how to cook. I mean, my go-to curry would always be a deep, dark, moody lamb curry. You know, that's home for me with lots of rotis.
Next time you're making your delicious lamb curry, let me know, because that sounds absolutely delicious. You're making me hungry. Why did you feel the need then to start this app, this site, to encourage people to experiment with Indian cooking and learn more about it?
My background, I did a biology degree at university and worked for Unilever as a food microbiologist in their production facilities. And that's where I sort of started. And then I went off and did a master's in marketing management and joined Tesco as a corporate marketeer. And then I had my family, got married, had children, and I started to interact with, you know, mums and that kind of thing. And I realised that there was a bit of a gap in people's knowledge about Indian food. So, and that's where it sort of started. So I started by going into people's homes, taking with me all of my ingredients and everything bar the kitchen sink, and just turning up and starting to do cookery classes in people's homes. Very, very quickly, all my evenings were taken up, my weekends were taken up. I was working part-time, had two little children and a husband that travelled, and I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to fit all of this in. There's one of me, and there's lots of people out there that do want to know about Indian food. I could feel there was a real thirst. And then at the same time, very fortuitously, there's a local digital marketing agency that were looking for a way of being able to promote what they were doing as a digital marketing company. And it was the right time, I guess. So from there, they helped me build what is now the Harry Gotra brand. From there, the website started. They helped me with photography. They helped me with the videos. They helped me create the brand that is Harry Gotra in terms of all the digital content and so on. And they sort of guided me through that process. And what they got out of it was they were able to use me as a case study for future clients to say, this is how we can build a brand from nothing to something. But a lot of it was, you know, with YouTube, for example, I had to get in front of the camera, I had to cook, teach, talk, do all of those different things all at once. So it was a massive growth curve in terms of learning new skills, working in a completely different environment to what I'd been used to.
I mean, you talk about it very breezily as if it all just happened. But what I'm hearing is actually you're a busy mum. You studied twice. You fortuitously, as you put it, met this digital marketing agency. But I'm wondering how much of success from your point of view is due to luck and how much is due to hard work?
People say to me now, you know, that it seems like, oh, I'm always working, or I work really hard. I don't think I do. I really don't think I do. And I think that comes from the fact that I love what I do. I love what I call, you know, my job with Virgin. I love the Harry Gotra stuff that I'm doing. I do different things. You just get on with it, don't you? I mean, if you love what you do, I think opportunities will draw themselves to you. It wasn't easy. There's been lots of times where I've thought, oh gosh, why is this not working out for me? Or, you know, how can I make this better? But I think that's my sort of ethos in life is just, if I'm not enjoying it, there's no point doing it.
Now, you've mentioned there also your incredible job at Virgin, where you're the global food and beverage manager. It sounds like a kind of dream role, because I imagine there's lots of travel, you get to design menus, you probably get to hang out with Richard Branson. Tell me all about it. How did it come about?
It was just an advert for a role at Virgin, looking for a food and beverage manager. And I wasn't particularly looking for a job as such. I was sort of doing what I was doing. And it just felt to me like, oh my goodness, this is a job that potentially could pull everything I love about my world into one place. So it was honestly as simple as that. It just popped up on my LinkedIn. I had a few interviews and had to do a presentation, and I landed the job back in 2019. So the role is the food and beverage manager, and we work in a team. The way that we operate is my colleague looks after all outbound flights from the UK, and I manage all the inbound flights. I manage the menus that fly on board. I work with caterers across the world, looking at, I'm in the middle of sort of menu presentation season at the moment, which means that I'm traveling an awful lot. I'm going out to see all of the caterers. We're pulling dishes together. We're pulling the menu together for the next cycle. So I say it all the time, I literally have the best job in the world. I get to fly. I get to visit lots of different countries. I get to meet some amazing chefs, and I get to eat some of the most delicious food in the world. So I'm a happy girl most of the time.
I'm laughing and smiling because I can see your enthusiasm for the job, and I can also see us two on screen. You've got your headset on and we've both got our red tops on, looking very Virgin Atlantic, really. Doors to Manuel. What's kind of the most beautiful or fun or exciting places you've travelled to with this job?
Oh, gosh, we're in menu cycle change at the moment. So I'm going to lots of places doing menu presentations at the moment. So from January, I have been to Orlando, San Francisco, Atlanta, Austin in the US. I've been to Antigua. I've been to Islamabad. I've been to Mumbai. I'm due to go to Lagos next week. And then I'm going to Johannesburg, then I'm back for a week, and then I go to Tel Aviv and possibly the US again. So pretty crazy, but it's a very creative role in that I get to work with some very, very talented chefs. You know, food on the ground is one thing, food in restaurants is one thing, but when you're trying to fly food at 36,000 feet and trying to deliver a service, there's a lot of different challenges. For me, it's been a huge learning curve. I don't come from an airline background. It's hard. It's really, really tough. It's tough on your body. It's tough, you know, mentally, because you've got to be on your, as soon as you land, you're literally on your game, if you like. So you've got to go straight into the units. As well as doing the food, there's also the tours that we do around the catering units, and making sure that they are working to the standards that we believe they should be. But also, you know, it's about engaging with people. It's about engaging with all different types of people, not just the chefs. It's the operations guys. It's people at the airport. It's all kinds of different skills that I'm having to use and play around with and learn. So, yeah, it's an interesting role.
Oh, it's an amazing role. Why is it that airline food gets such a bad rap in general? And what are the kinds of challenges chefs face with food going up into the air?
So there's lots of challenges. So, I mean, from a very basic level, when we are up in the air, we have less moisture in our mouth. So our taste palates change, so we lose 30% of our taste when we're up in the air. The sound of the engines also dulls your sense of taste. You know, the taste and the flavors and that kind of thing are all impacted. That's why things like curries, things like, you know, everyone wants a tomato juice when they're up in the air, because it's those bold flavors that we're able to, you know, the umami and so on, that we're able to pick up. So things like that have to be considered. But it's also the whole logistical process of trying to serve a vast number of people. So you've got 300 passengers that you've got to serve at the same time. So that has its logistical issues. It's logistical issues about getting food onto the plane. We also are very limited in terms of the equipment that you have on board. We are also facing more and more challenges as we go through with sustainability issues. And it's our job to do everything we can to give the customer the best, or the passenger, the best sort of experience that we can when it comes to food. But if you think about how the food has to be heated and all of those things, so everything's going to have an impact on the food that comes out at the end. But we do our absolute best, and we do lots of research, we do lots of development work on the ground to try and make sure that what the passengers are presented is a great dish. It is personal, because the chefs that I work with across the world, they do take it very personally if something doesn't come across how they wanted it to be, or, you know, a passenger isn't happy, then, you know, they do take it personally. And we always work to amend and change things and try and improve things.
I'm thinking about pilots and how much training they go through, and they have those flight simulators. How do you or your chefs or your teams recreate the ambiance of an aeroplane so that you can recreate and test and play around with the food on the ground?
A lot of it is done through experience. You know, a lot of our catering guys have worked in the industry for a long time. We do other things where we test. So we'll come up with a menu. We then do something called fit to fly. So we will fly the whole menu, actually. We will fly it, and then we gain lots of feedback. So that feedback will come from crew or come from passengers. And if something doesn't work for whatever reason, we can then tweak it on the ground and so on. There's also just, you know, as I say, it's knowledge based, but, you know, things like certain wines will work better in the air. High altitude wines work better in the air. So we'll try and create a menu that we know works as well as it can do. We'll then test it, and then we will tweak it and change it. But we do rely a lot on feedback from passengers and from our crew as well. So I do a lot of fly-alongs, and that's when I look at the food and I think, hang on a minute, that doesn't look right, or that wasn't how I'd planned it to be. So we will continually change and tweak things and try and make improvements as we go.
Now, sadly, I've never been lucky enough to fly first class, fingers crossed one day. But is there a massive difference between the kind of food most of us eat when we're on an aeroplane and the food that you get served when you go for the big bucks flights?
So the service that you get in the three cabins, so we have an upper class, we have a premium cabin, and we have an economy cabin. The service and the food that you get does vary. In upper class, you are given your food on proper crockery, you have proper cutlery, it's plated and then served to you. In premium, it's plated again in crockery, but it's in a slightly different shape. And then in economy, it's everything served to you on a tray. So the three cabins do vary, and in each cabin, our job is to make sure that the passenger is satisfied and happy in terms of the quality of the food they get, the quantity of the food that they get, and it's suitable for the journey that they're going on. So each of our flights, obviously, different destinations, different time. So if you're going on a day flight, we will quite often offer a lunch and a light bite service. If it's a night flight, you get a dinner and a breakfast service. So all of those things do vary depending on where you're flying to. It's really important that we take into account the demographic of the passenger that's flying on that flight, because what my job is to try and do is take that proposition and then make it suitable for all of those regions coming back. So out of India and Mumbai, for example, we do have Indian dishes, but also we know that from India, for example, the majority of people tend to be vegetarians. In, for example, a Pakistan route, they are much more meat eaters. Not just that, but we also do special meals and kosher meals, and we do gluten-free meals and all of those special meals, especially with people's dietary requirements. We have to sort of bear all of that in mind and have those available as well.
When you think back to your studies, did you ever think you'd end up in a food career?
No, not at all. So my degree was in biology. When I sort of look back, I keep sort of seeing little glints of, well, food obviously was really important to me because everything I've done had a little bit of food in there. So my first job was working for Unilever at their Bird's Eye Walls factory, where all the waffles are produced and the chicken nuggets and all of that kind of stuff. So even though I did a biology degree, it still sort of veered towards food. And then when I did a master's, it was business management for the food and drinks related industries. So it was very specific. And then I joined the biggest supermarket in the UK, Tesco. It sort of had something to do with food in there. And then when I set up Harry Gotra, obviously that was all based around food. And then from there, I did sort of go into restaurants. I worked front of house. I worked behind in the kitchens as well. So that there's always been that food trickle that's gone throughout my career. I didn't realize it was there. I didn't do it intentionally. It was obviously just something that I loved. I mean, for me growing up, it was all about food. My mum would wake us up in the morning and say, what do you want for dinner? We all sort of cooked together. Everyone had an opinion about food. And a lot of Indian households are like that. I mean, it wasn't that I was passionate about cooking from a young age. I wasn't. It was just what we had to do. But then I suppose I realised that actually it's something that fills me with a lot of joy. And, you know, I love feeding people. It's my way of giving is to cook for people and feed them. So it seems to have done me pretty good so far. So I'll keep going.
Well, you might not have enjoyed it at the time, but what a legacy your mum's given you and your family's given you to have all those cookery skills and to be able to give pleasure to people. Do you think the food and drinks industry is a good one for young people to get into? And if so, why?
I think so. I mean, we all will always need to eat and drink. So there's always going to be jobs there. And there are so many different avenues that you can go down, you know, from manufacturing to the restaurant world. There's things that you can start yourself. And I think that can be quite exciting. You know, once you've got a little bit of experience, you can go out on your own. You can start the whole, you know, the internet makes things really, really easy. You can set up your own website. You can do things. You don't have to spend a lot of money when you're starting up and so on. There are so many different avenues. I mean, you know, the airline industry is probably an industry that people don't think about. People need to eat wherever they go. So there are lots and lots of sort of different areas that you can go into. You know, restaurants are crying out for chefs all the time. So yeah, there's great opportunities out there.
Your job does sound amazing, and you're already making me think of a career change. In an ideal world, what would you be looking for in a young person who wanted to come and work in your incredible industry?
I think you need to be confident. You've got to be adaptable. You've got to be great with people. You've got to be able to talk to people on lots of different levels. There's a lot of rewards that come with that. You've got to be able to pick up concepts quite quickly and try and apply them to different scenarios. I think you've just got to be passionate, and you've got to have a really good work ethic. If you are much more of a person who just wants to do that 9 to 5, then there's other roles that probably would suit. You know, we're sometimes 24/7. I'll be on calls at the weekends. You know, when you travel, you've got to, you do lose some of your own personal time. But it all comes back to, if you love what you do, then it doesn't feel like you do a day's work in your life. So, and you've got to have an interest in food and the industry as a whole, as well as the food industry. So it's sort of like the amalgamation of two different areas.
It's me again. So that was Harry, who absolutely loves her job. And why wouldn't she? It is literally the dream job for anyone who loves food and travel. As Harry said, she started off studying biology, and while this certainly helps her a great deal when working out the practicalities of cooking at 36,000 feet, it is by no means a prerequisite. Meanwhile, that marketing degree she did definitely does help her when it comes to sharing the message of her incredible Indian cookery site. Airline catering can mean cooking on the ground at scale for meals that go up in the air, and there are plenty of those jobs around. Just Google in-flight catering or airline production chef. Those salaries are usually in line with most chef jobs, starting at around 23 to 26,000 for a junior chef. But at the higher end, you could also search for similar roles within private jet companies. For someone who wants to get into more senior management or logistics roles within airline food, a bit like Harry's, these jobs are pretty niche and they don't come up often, so keep your eyes peeled on the jobs board, especially for Virgin Atlantic, of course, where you will sometimes see jobs working alongside Harry, and also other exciting jobs such as mixologist or catering manager for those Virgin Clubhouse passengers. Virgin roles tend to start at around £25,000 a year, and the benefits are pretty incredible. Just think of the air miles. Thank you so much to Harry for packing us into her busy, busy travel schedule. If you want to find out more about her, do visit her site. We'll pop that link up for you. And thank you for listening. Till next time, goodbye.